You've got to open it up. Open the screen up.
Okay, I want to start with what we were talking about last week. So if you weren't with us last week, you'll be able to pick up on it and really feel like it's something that the Lord's saying to us at the moment. So if you were here last week, you'll be able to pick it up again, and we'll take it a little bit further with what I believe the Lord wants to say to us today. So last week we started in Mark 8, and to give you a brief outline of what happened there, in verse 6, we have where Jesus gave the food to the disciples and they fed the multitude. Then it tells us in verse 8 that they picked up baskets of leftovers. Then in verse 11, guess what? The Pharisees came to Jesus, and you know, they were demanding signs and just opposing what God was doing. And then we end up with Jesus getting into the boat with the disciples and leaving that area. So what happens next? In verse 14, says, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. So we can look at that and think, oh, that's so dumb. How did they end up thinking that? But we do the same sort of thing so often. Jesus is instructing these guys. He's trying to impart to them, and they end up with a totally wrong conclusion. They think that Jesus is exposing their inability to plan, make sure that they have provisions, and you know, that he's just exposing their carelessness or something. They get the total wrong end of the stick of what Jesus is wanting to say to them. And it's because they reasoned. And so last week we looked at the whole thing of reasoning and the fact that that's the natural response. Fear and worry are one of the things that Jesus talks to us about. Do not fear, do not worry. But this is the other aspect of the mind that we need to be aware of. And so verse 17, it says, but Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason? Because you have no bread. Why, in the situation that we're in, where you haven't got enough bread, why are you allowing your mind to go into the whole area of reasoning? Reason is the power of the mind to think, understand, and to form judgments by a process of logic. Our brain is amazing. And apparently we only use about 10% of it. So Adam, the original creation must have been extremely amazing what could do with the mind. But God's brought us down to not using all of it, because obviously in our fallen state, we would end up with more problems than we already get ourselves into. But this whole ability of our mind to reason, it takes what it has, what it knows, and puts it all together in a little logical sequence and comes up with an explanation, a reason, a logical conclusion. But that's all human-based. It's all based in our ability or inability, or in the case of these guys, their lack. He then goes on and says, do you not yet perceive nor understand? So Jesus was expecting more of these guys than them reasoning. He was expecting them to perceive or to understand. And there's a difference between these two. Perceive is to become aware of. So we can perceive something even though we don't have the mental understanding of it. Whereas understand means to put things together mentally. 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. And our mind does that all the time. It's putting together what we already know in our mind, and it's putting those things together to come up with a reason, with an understanding. But Jesus is saying that they should have been able to perceive, to be able to pick up something or to have some understanding. And it's when we pick up kingdom understanding that our mind starts to become renewed. And apart from getting saved, I think the biggest challenge in our life is the renewing of our mind. It's picking up the way that the kingdom operates, kingdom thinking, as opposed to our natural reasoning and worry and complaining and doubt and fear and all those things where the natural mind just, you know, races. It's amazing. I think we even talked last week about, you know, something happens and, you know, the person that is going to be visiting you doesn't turn up when they're meant to, and all of a sudden your mind has brought up the scenario that there's an accident on the motorway and they're injured and they're probably in hospital, and in a moment your mind has just raced on down the road and come up with all these conclusions. So it's very powerful, but it is meant to be our servant, not our master. So he goes on after these first questions to say, is your heart still hardened? And it's interesting that he's got still in there. So he knew when he picked up these guys, these fishermen and tax collector, that these guys, you know, their hearts were pretty hard. But he was expecting that as they walked with him, that their hearts would soften. And it always comes back to a heart issue. It's what's happening in our heart and whether we are just, you know, leaning into the Lord, wanting to do things his way, wanting to understand the kingdom. It's that heart towards him that actually enables us to perceive and understand more. And when we do, we start to pick up the real understanding of what Jesus is saying. And we start to be able to receive the revelation and the instruction and the guidance that Jesus has for us, rather than being like these guys thinking Jesus was talking about lunch when he was talking about mindsets and preparing them for the future. They were way off track. And sadly, we can end up off track too because of where our heart is at. That's why we need to guard our heart. And also because we're not allowing our walk with God to alter and change and adjust what we perceive and what we understand. We're not allowing the word and our experience to transform our mind. And those who are doing the course with Bill Johnson and that on Wednesday night, you will presumably have read the part where that word transform your mind is the same word where Jesus was transfigured on the mountain. And his, you know, garments shone. In fact, the original means that his garments were like lightning. And they saw Jesus in the glory of who he was. Well, that's the word that is used for the transforming of our mind. So our mind takes on this heavenly dimension, which is huge. And I think most of us will say, I've got a way to go. But that's where the Lord is wanting to take us. So he then goes on in verse 18 to say, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? He actually starts to instruct these disciples regarding picking up the perception and the understanding of what God is saying. And these are the areas that I want to have a look at this morning, because it's all very well to say, well, we end up in reasoning and, yeah, that's our problem. Well, what's the answer? How do we live in a lifestyle where we have our hearts open to the Lord and we pick up what he is saying and what he wants to impart to us? Well, Jesus gives us huge clues in what he says here to these disciples. Having eyes, do you not see? In other words, you have the ability, but you're not using it. And having ears, do you not hear? You should be able to hear. And do you not remember? So let's have a look at these three areas. And as we do, I want you to think about what aspects are strong in your life, what aspects maybe are a little bit on the weak side. And then when we open it up for discussion at the end, we're going to look at these three areas, how the Lord speaks to us, how the Lord is developing us and our ability to grow in him and just become part of the kingdom and have our mind renewed. So the question, what do you see? What do you hear? What do you remember? Let's go through these and that, and let's have a look at the different aspects of each one. So the first one, what do you see? Well, I've put some ideas there regarding things that we see and how we see. So I want you to think about these for a moment. You've got visions and dreams. I think that is one of the areas that God loves to talk through us through. This whole area of visions and dreams. And some of you may think, well, I don't have any of those. Well, I believe God wants to talk to us even in the night watches. And that's where he wants to give us dreams. And the Bible talks about that. And I know that there are some people who they do have, you know, God-given dreams, not just, you know, the ones from pizza and that, but it's like, yeah, God really talks to me in dreams. Visions are the same, but you're awake. And God wants to speak to us and show us things. And we can see in the realm of the spirit. Impressions are similar, but impressions are not as vivid as a vision. They're kind of that inner seeing. Encounters with God, I kind of struggled a little bit where I put that one. But encounters with God, sometimes we tend to sense, and it's like an impression. It's so faint in many ways, and yet it's so real. It's like you can just, I know there's times when I sense like the Lord has come into the room and I can see him in my heart, though I can't with my natural eyes. And it's almost like I could reach out and touch him. And that's our spiritual eyes being able to see. Favor and blessing are another aspect of us seeing God at work in our life. So there are aspects of your life where you will see the favor of God, where he will open opportunities for you, where things will just happen, or you'll do things and you'll just sense, you know, that God's in this and he's, you know, bringing a blessing in this area. And I think it's an aspect that we need to be more in tune with, is seeing where the favor and blessing is on our life. And then kind of related to that is the whole area of inner dreams and desires. Sometimes we can dismiss these things and think, oh, it's just my imagination, you know, just the little kid dreaming of being a nurse. Well, why? Why were you dreaming of being a nurse? What was it behind that? What was the deep-seated desire or longing? Because each and every one of us are God's craftsmanship, and we're made for good works. We're made to express who God made us to be. And so God leads us as well through the things that we dream of doing or want to do or have a passion for. And sometimes, as I said, we can dismiss these and say, oh, well, that's just part of my imagination. But I want us to look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. In other words, we are looking at things which are not seen with the natural eye. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things that only our spirit can see, those are eternal realities. So our ability to see the Lord, what he's doing, see the angelic, see in the realm of the spirit, that's seeing into an eternal realm. And don't dismiss it as, oh, well, that's just part of my imagination. I, you know, just dreamed that up. No, it's very real. Having eyes, do you not see? And I believe God wants us to increase in that area. So that was the first one Jesus mentioned. And then he said, do you not hear? So again, I've put down some thoughts here. And when we open up for discussion, you may, you know, even have some thoughts that you want to add to this. So I've put the word of God there. Now, most of us read the Bible. So you could say, well, that's what we're seeing. But it's actually when we read, our spirit hears the word. And Jesus talked about, you know, it's the words that proceed from the Father, and that faith comes by hearing. So even though we use our natural eyes, it's like our spirit man is hearing the word. And there are times when we hear beyond what we're actually reading, and the Lord will use scripture to speak to us, or he'll speak to us through other people with prophetic words. Again, prophetic words are not something for us to just file away and think, oh, that was nice. Prophetic words are for us to hear and to hear by the Spirit. Always remember with a prophetic word that we know in part, we prophesy in part. So a prophetic word is not verbatim the word of God. We have to have ears to hear God's voice within the prophetic word that was given. And God has given us that ability to hear. Revelation. God often loves to just drop into our spirit a revelation. And it may be, you know, a scripture, it may be a saying, it may just be an insight that he's giving us into something. And it's where our spirit man hears what God is saying to us. And that's really powerful. This whole aspect of hearing, I've also put in here teaching and messages. See, first of all, Jesus said, do you not see? And there's a lot of people who feel like, well, no, I don't see much at all. Well, we can hear. And even if we're not hearing revelation and hearing things directly from the Lord, we can increase our ability to hear through listening to teaching, listening to messages, listening to the Word of God. As we listen, we increase our ability to hear. So I would encourage you, if you feel weak in hearing from God, increase how much you're listening to the Word or listening to messages, and you will start to hear God talk beyond what you have heard from that person, and you'll start to hear what he's saying as well. And then counsel and encouragement. Often God talks through the body. He doesn't talk directly to us. He talks through somebody else. And somebody's counsel to us, or even just somebody's encouragement, we can hear the voice behind the voice. And again, that's allowing our spirit man to hear. It's not just our natural ears, but our spirit hearing. And God wants our spirit to be active in hearing his voice. And then the third area, so we've got what we see, what we hear, and what we remember. Put two areas there, our journey with God and testimonies. Bill Johnson is very strong on talking about testimonies, not just our testimonies, but also the testimonies of others. And he, of course, brings in the aspect of that being prophetic. But I think it's also our journey with God. It's remembering those times when God just came through, or, you know, sometimes it's not a specific testimony per se. It's just an awareness that God got you through that tough time, and that he was there for you. And it's that awareness of God being with us in our journey of life that also encourages us. And many times when we can't see and we can't hear, we can at least remember. Jesus was talking to disciples who were not yet born again. So they didn't have the spiritual ability to see or to hear, but they did have the ability to remember. And this is what Jesus picks up on. So in Mark 8, verse 19, he says to them, "When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "Also, when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said, 7. And he said to them, "How is it you do not understand? How is it that you're thinking about your bread supplies when I'm talking to you about the way you think and understand reality?" I find it fascinating that Jesus, in talking to these guys about remembering, does not say to them, "Well, when we feed the multitude, how many people did we feed?" He says, "How many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" It's like, why the baskets of fragments? Why did Jesus zero in on that? Why was he getting them to specifically remember them picking up the baskets of fragments? Well, I think for a few reasons. And again, you know, when we unmute this, you can share your thoughts on that as well. But number one, I think he asked them regarding the basket full of fragments is because they were picking up bread and fish. And they were worried about this whole area of how much bread they had. So Jesus was saying, look at the abundance of supply that there was. Not only was everybody fed, but there was an abundance. Secondly, it spoke directly to where their concern was. And many times we need to remember and we need to seek out testimonies that specifically speak to where we're at. If you need healing, testimonies of provision are great, but what you really need is you need testimonies of healing. So he has them remember in the area of need that they were facing. The other reason is because they were the ones that picked up the fragments. They could easily dismiss the feeding of the 5,000 or the 4,000 with, well, Jesus was the one who broke the bread. Jesus caused the miracle. He gave the thanks. Yeah, we handed it out to the people. But that's what Jesus did. Jesus brings them back to what they did. They picked up the fragments. They were involved with co-laboring with him. And as they did it, they were able to see the abundance. Finally, I think Jesus wants them to think about the fragments, because that's what they took away from that situation. When they left the mountain, they took the baskets with them. And I'm sure even when the food was eaten and consumed, they still had the basket. And every time they looked at the basket, they could remember the supply. And we see the Lord do this with Israel. The classic one, of course, is when they crossed the Jordan and the Lord said, pick up a stone from the middle of the dry riverbed and put it on the bank, so that every time you see that pile of stones, you remember that this is where you crossed over and this is where God performed a miracle. And I believe the Lord wants to encourage us to journal our story with him, capture what we sense, what we see, what we hear, but also to capture what we remember. And at times, sometimes that involves having an object, having something written. Yeah, take your prophetic words and put the key phrases on a card, or have an object that speaks to you. Like one of the things that I have here in my office, and I'll stop the share now so that you can see this. One of the things that I have in my office is just a little wee memory verse card. I picked this up in Mosgiel, which is just outside Dunedin, when I was nursing my mum who was dying of cancer. And I was like struggling to, you know, walk through that time. And it simply says, as your days, so shall your strength be. And when I walked into the Christian bookshop, it was like, God, I just need something. And I saw this little card, and this constantly lives in my office. My mum died in 1998, so it's a long time ago now. But I still have this little card with me that tells me that if I go through a tough time, my God is going to be with me. I know that my God is with me. And when I look at, you know, you guys on Zoom, you know, I can see in the background of several of you where you've got a picture on the wall, like behind Michelle, I can see the lion on the wall. I can see with Karen and Jeremy the word relax, and we can't see it today, but we often see the eagle, a hope. Yep, and there's an eagle up on the top there with its wings spread. You know, we need things that remind us that our God is with us. Our God is a good God. Because sometimes there are times when we find it hard to see and hard to hear, but we can always remember. We can always pick up our little card, or we can stand and we can look at the picture or the words that are there. And we can remind ourselves, and I can see behind John and Diane that there's some words there as well on the top of their bookcase. Things that say, my God is with me. We need to be people who know how to see, know how to hear, and know how to remember.